Introducing Manor Wisdom Quintet!
All right. This week I've got Grace Springs on, and it was good to get to know them. They have a very unique story, and you'll hear me say that once they're done with their intro. And it was, I don't know Grace at all. Never met them, but hopefully one day, maybe I will. I don't know. I mean, it's so tough. You know, I was thinking about this actually this week about how I've interviewed so many people and there are still so many people that I haven't actually met in person. And so, you know, I feel like I know people that I have been interviewing because you get to know them over the whatever hour that you get to talk to them. And then I don't necessarily always get to talk to them when I see them at Thespians or TXCTA or something like that. So I'll call out Shelby, who I interviewed now probably a year ago, maybe. I don't even remember. She can tell me. But and then I saw Shelby at TXCTA this past year, and it was just quickly like walking by each other, and it didn't click that it was Shelby, and then it did later, and I was like, oh my gosh, I should have said hello to her. And now we've said hello, right? And I've even been to her school, thanks Lake Belton. What's up, Lake Belton High School? And I would consider her a friend now. So but it's just funny, I don't know why I'm telling you guys this, but I don't know everybody that I interview. So it was a pleasure to get to know Grace. I really enjoyed their story, and you'll hear kind of the questioning of how they became a tech director and stuff. And it's just unique, and it's actually kind of inspiring in a way, because they are self-made in that world of tech directing. So enough of that. Speaking of TXCTA, I am going to go to Summerfest. In what capacity, I don't know yet. There is some talk of some things and some stuff. I'm going to teach something, probably lighting related, but nothing is set in stone. I will tell you what is set in stone. I finally bit the bullet, although I should have done this years ago. I would have saved some money and became a lifetime member of TXCTA, because I will go back to the classroom, even if I don't, even if that is a wrong and inaccurate prediction. I will still be involved. I am so involved in education now. I'm more involved in education now because I'm in so many classrooms. You hear me talk about this now the past 3 weeks, but I'm in so many, I don't want to say classrooms, not a traditional classroom, but what is traditional when it comes to theater, but I'm in so many spaces of seeing so many students, seeing so many teachers, affecting lives, hopefully in the way that I wanted to a while ago. And honestly, excuse me, it's thanks to the John Cooper School, because when I was there, I had so much flexibility to be able to help people. You can ask Beth Obel, I was able to take time to go out to her school. And the John Cooper School, this is the beauty of private schools, they kind of want you to continue to be a professional, right? It's similar to college. They want you to be active. It makes them look better. They are selling a product. They're trying to get people to come to their schools. It's almost like where HISD wants to go. Not that they should. HISD is a total crapshoot right now, but enough of that. That's exactly what I have wanted to do, and I've really enjoyed it. I even ordered some embroidered shirts. That's how serious I'm getting. Ooh, hey. So it's going to be fun. I'm going to be there 7 hours away from where I'm currently sitting right now, in Big Springs, Texas, at Howard College. Don't go to Howard University. That's a bit further away. Not that much further, but it's a bit further. But Howard College in Big Springs, Texas, I'm very much looking forward to it. I've been to a Summerfest before, but it was a very long time ago in a very different sort of model. So I'm looking forward to doing that, looking forward to helping teachers out and being with, I would still consider my people, my peeps. Couple of other things, some tech things. I've received some advice from some people on what to cover tech-wise. I will tell you this. I'm doing what I'm doing, and I love it. I want to expand and grow. But right now, if you need this immediate fix of, like, I need help with curriculum and advocacy and things like that, like, I'm advocating, don't get me wrong, but it's in a more unique sort of non-traditional way. But Mel Edwards is doing God's work right now when it comes to curriculum and doing all that kind of stuff for you, for people, for tech directors especially. And so I've just got to, I'm going to push what Mel Edwards does every single day of my life, like until, you know, there's no reason to, or until she retires or something. But she is doing amazing, amazing work. You do need to check out her podcast. She hasn't released a lot of episodes, but, and it's only on Spotify, which for some reason my podcast is no longer on Spotify, but I'm going to try to fix that over the next few weeks. But anyway, I digress, but she's doing great, doing just as great as Grace is doing in, Bastrop. Oh, I had a little brain fart there. But in Bastrop, and just, it's pretty awesome. It's pretty awesome. Life is good right now. Hope everybody's doing well with One Act Play. This week, I am in two different contests, 4 days of contests, and only two contests. One of those contests is 1 day. The other one is three. Come on with it. I'm okay with that. Not complaining, but got two contests this week and then two more after this week, both in Dallas. So I'll be up in Dallas if you want to hit me up. Hope everybody has a good week. Bobby, I will see you Monday. And don't you ever call me that again.
So my name is Grace Springs. I'm a fifth-year teacher at Bastrop High School. It's the first school I interviewed at, and they called me like 20 minutes after I drove away. And so it was very much meant to be with Bastrop High School. And I can get into that a little bit later. I am actually a history teacher by trade. I attended Texas State University to get my bachelor's in history, and I kind of pigeonholed myself into United States history, and I got a minor in creative writing poetry. But the reason I'm now a tech director, and this is my third year as our full-time tech director, this is my fourth one-act season with the Bear Stage Theater Company. I got into all of that because I really wanted something to build. My background in theater goes back to when I was little. My mom was actually on the Georgetown High School one-act play team when they won state. I want to say in like late 70s, like maybe like 80, 81. I can't remember the exact year. And so she had always been an English person and into theater. By the time I came around, she was already a principal on her way to being a superintendent. And so she always had to go to all the events, and she was always most excited to go to the theater shows and take us to the theater shows. I had my first job in theater when I was like 5 years old as a curtain puller in a local show in Seguin, Texas, where I was living at the time. And then when I was in high school, I didn't really participate until I was a senior. And to be honest, it's because I was dating a girl and she was in theater. And so I was like, you know, they need someone that can make props. I can make props. And so I got involved my senior year in Santa Gertrude's Academy High School's theater program, which is a real small 3A school down in Kingsville. It sits on Texas A&M Kingsville's campus, and the elementary middle school is on the King Ranch itself, which is a really cool experience growing up. I went to some of the local, some of the shows that went through Texas A&M Kingsville for the college kids, and that was always a lot of fun. But I've always been crafty. I've always loved to build. I was a hot glue and popsicle sticks kid. I was a building forts and digging holes in the backyard kind of kid. Like, give me a tomato cage, I'll give you a rocket ship. And so I was always really into building. And then my first year teaching, we had, at that time, Hannah Winkler, who is now at a middle school in Louisville, and Brian Cortez, who you've interviewed before, were at Bastrop, and they're going into their one act season, and they needed just a little bit more muscle, like just a little bit more for that 7 minute setup. And so I was like, hey, I love theater. It sounds like a great time. Me and Hannah were really cool. We had come in as first year teachers together. I had like peripherally talked to like Brian Cortez. We weren't really in the same part. He's at that time was over at the pack. And so we weren't even in the same building. But I was like, you know, I'll come to district and I'll help set up. And we competed in district. And then a week later, the pandemic hit. And it was, you know, everything was, we hadn't advanced, but it was all over anyways. And during the pandemic, I needed something to do. And I had been gifted a drill for my birthday the February before, and I started to build. And I couldn't get enough building. But I also, you know, couldn't get enough supplies. And so when the school year started up again, and we got a new theater director, her name is Alexis Hastings, they didn't hire another tech director. They never filled Cortez's position. And so I was still living an hour away in San Marcos. My wife was getting her master's at Texas State. And so we hadn't moved to Bastrop yet, but it was one act season. And I know, like, even if you can run a great program, and Hastings really runs a great program, it's hard to take 25 kids to a district competition. It's difficult to do by yourself. And so in February, I went and I was like, hey, you need a tech director. And I had introduced myself to her at the beginning of the year, but I came back in February. I was like, hey, if you need somebody for district, like, let's go. Like, it sounds great. I think we're going to have a great time. She was a little hesitant because she had never had someone come in as a tech director. The guy that she had as a tech director at her last school was one of the admin that was really into it and like loved theater. And she knew that he had her back. And so she was a little hesitant to just kind of let me in. And I'm really, really lucky she did, because even though we didn't advance that season, it became very clear that I was going to stick around. I was about to move to Bastrop, and we were ready for some of those very, very important, very, very important COVID protocols to be a little eased for us to really start our theater program together. Right, for her to get into her second year, and for us to get a new crop of kids and really get going. And so that was 3 years ago. We did Legally Blonde the 2021-2022 season, and it was great. It was fantastic. And so it's been a lot of fun to get to take this building that I love and this theater that I love and all this artistic stuff and merge it all in. And now we're coming up on our fourth year together, like full-time next year. And even the kids today, we're talking about it. A kid that we've had since he was a freshman was like, man, this classroom has changed so much since the first time I walked into it. And this has changed and this has changed. It's like, yeah, it's amazing when you have the same three directors all 3 years. Because we also, when we started Legally Blonde, we picked up a costume director. One of the English 2 teachers, her name is Nicole Chicoria. She was really, really into costuming and cosplay and had made all this cool stuff and weren't at the school. And we were like, hey, you wanna come do theater? You wanna come hang out? And so it's been really great getting to build the program together and learning new things. I've learned a lot during my time as the tech director, like looking at my sets from Legally Blonde to looking at the absolute behemoth of a set from Les Mis, it's just not even like chapters different. It's whole books, you know, whole volumes different. And it's been really nice to meet some people that have a lot of expertise and that have been able to share that expertise. Jacob Layton, who is still our PAC manager, is, you know, really helpful and was really encouraging when I was first starting, like, hey, just if you need a little look like this, or hey, you need someone to double check your schematics, you know, let me know. And Mel Edwards has also become another person like that, where I've gotten to attend like her thespian class and I've gotten to follow her on Instagram and learn a lot from her. Like, I'm building 80% of my set right now out of insulation foam, and it's all because of Mel. And so it's been a lot of fun to grow and learn as we go and build the program and really give our kids like a solid home within the Bear Stage Theater program.
You have kind of been a self-created tech director in a way. And are there things that you are still, well, I know the answer to this. Let me ask the other side. Are there things that you know for sure I'm very proficient at this, that you are very confident in, that you really, you know, you don't need as much assistance? And then what is kind of on the same side of that question, what are some things that you still know that you've got to learn some of these proficiencies in order to be the best you can?
So I'm a big fan of, because in my heart, I'm a carpenter. I know I'm not a real carpenter, but in my heart, I'm a carpenter. And so I'm a big fan of like big platformed like sets, big structural sets. I have some pictures up. I'm going to go ahead and plug my Instagram, Tech Director Springs, for anybody. And so like I've built some pretty big structurally just large and in charge sets. And so I feel like at this point, like if it's platforms and carriage bolts and tacking down, like I'm it. Like I can build you pretty much as big as you'd want. But on the other side of that, I can build you whatever you want unless you want metal involved. I don't know how to weld. I'm not very comfortable with metal yet. And so foam and painting and all of that and wood all day. But when it comes to any kind of like metal work or getting into rigging, not a clue.
And like, do you know the metal side of things, do you have access to that? Or is it just like in normal high school where the ag people have it, but, and may build a small something for you, but is that something you can get your hands on? Or is that something you just would like to learn at some point?
I've thought about it. Like there is a point, we did Chicago last year, and there is a moment where I almost got them to do our prison bars. And then I was like, that's going to be really, whatever they have for me, it's probably going to be significantly heavier than I want it to be. We're kind of in an interesting situation at Bastrop High School presently. We're under a major amount of construction. And so if I wanted something fabricated right now, the answer would be that the shop is closed. And we just had a little, like a shift in our ag department. Like we had our last ag department went off to wonderfully awesome opportunities elsewhere, and we have new people. And so I think next year when there's less construction and we have that welding teacher that's been here a second year, I'm going to go again and be like, hey, will you teach me how to weld? But for now, the answer is like, probably not.
Yeah. When you were, you mentioned that when you were a kid, you know, you were the popsicle stick type, hot glue gun and all that kind of stuff. Were you also the tear apart type of kid?
Yes, yeah. I was the take it apart, put it back together. I have a lot of ADHD up in here.
Yeah, yeah.
And so sometimes to my detriment, but I will still sit in meetings. And I was in a training on Monday and I took apart my pen and put it back together probably four or five different times.
Yeah, that's, you know, I was always that kid that took apart the remote control car in hopes to put it back together so that it worked. And I was never successful, but you know, my parents stopped buying that stuff for me. So like, you're just going to break it. So the self-taught thing, it's funny or coincidental. I don't know if it's coincidence or not, but the most recent interview I did a couple days ago was somebody that was also a self-taught technical person that just wanted to kind of learn more stuff and always had the interest in it, but was never went to school for it, you know, because your degree is in history, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. So, it becomes, you know, it's hard to figure out which one is more effective because you clearly have the passion to make yourself learn new stuff. Right. And so you're not jaded necessarily Whereas the person like myself went to school for it and, you know, it might be like tired of it, right? And it's like, ugh, this building a flat again. Ugh, this is, you know. So that kind of thing is, it's always interesting to talk to people that don't have the background but have the drive, you know, and the passion for it. So good for you. I've marked down that, you know, because you mentioned that your girlfriend at the time was the reason you kind of like tagged along, I guess, in your senior year. I always find it funny that relationships are a lot of how somebody gets into theater. So, you know, the quarterback of the football team is, you know, following the girlfriend over or something like that. But when you went to college, or not when you went to college, when you were thinking about going to college, was there a thought of you maybe going into theater or nothing at all, huh?
No, to be honest with you, my original major was computer science and engineering.
Okay.
And I'm a third generation public educator on both sides.
Okay.
And so my dad is a math teacher and a football coach. My mom was because my mom has since passed, by the time I went to high school, like college, she was a superintendent, and she sat me down. She's like, "Do you really want to sit in front of a computer for the rest of your life and just stare at a computer?" And I was like, "No, I really don't." And she was like, "So what are you going to do?" And I was like, I think I want to teach history."
Right.
And it was history after that. And then I wasn't sure what I wanted to, there was a minute where I wasn't sure if I wanted to teach history because I didn't have the time to like sit in someone else's classroom and be a student teacher. And so I just picked up a minor that I liked. And so I creative writing poetry.
Okay. Oh, so you're a writer too.
Yeah.
So you're kind of an artist, you're almost a Renaissance-y in a way.
I try not to be bored.
Yeah, well, you mentioned the ADHD element. So the history side of things, what did you focus on, a specific type of history, or was there a certain era that you focused on?
I'd like to consider myself a socialist historian.
Okay.
And so I, like right now, I'm teaching about World War I and World War II, so I could tell you a whole lot about it.
Right.
But otherwise, I'm going to be able to tell you about like the societal effects and things like that. And so I focus on social American history, like antebellum South to like, honestly, 1980s, really 1995 is kind of my cutoff. Because then I was born in 97 and I have a hard time. It's kind of hard like shuffling through the history that you lived in.
Sure.
And so I'm really grateful because the part of history that I really, really remember, I don't have to necessarily like teach yet.
Right.
But it's a lot of fun. Right now I teach APUSH. And so I get to focus a lot on like the Progressive Era and the Gilded Age. And my favorite president is FDR. And so really looking at like how legislation and society shapes the United States that we live in today.
What's your class load then, if you're teaching history and doing theater?
I'm also the U.S. history lead.
Oh, there you go.
I got a lot. I make a joke that I have 11 jobs.
Yeah.
So I teach. I have a co-teach U.S. history class, which is mixed. You know, I have on-level U.S. history, and then I have like my U.S. history meeting with my team.
Right.
And then I teach AP U.S. history. I'm the only AP U.S. history teacher on our campus. And then I have a advanced technical theater class that I co-teach with our head director. And then, So two on-level academic, two advanced academic, and one advanced tech.
So do you know that you have accelerated very quickly? Like, do you know that that's a thing that normally when you're as, inexperienced is the wrong word because it sounds like you have a ton of experience in a short amount of time, but when you are as still kind of fresh off the block, if you will, it's not that normal to kind of be in the position you're in. Do you appreciate that? I'm assuming you understand it. You're very smart, but.
I mean, my first year teaching, they had me teaching four sections of freshman world geography and two sections of AP of on-level U.S. history. And my conference period was also the meeting I was supposed to have with U.S. history. And I have admittedly parlayed my way up.
Yeah.
And it honestly came down to communicating well with my administration.
Sure.
And being very clear in what I wanted, and being very clear in not only what I wanted, but what I was able to give for that. You know, social studies has a lot of coaches. And so convincing my principal, and I love my principal. Crystal Gabriel is amazing. She, like, just like a little sidebar, like, there was a moment when I was thinking about leaving Bastrop High School after my first year, because, like, who doesn't think about leaving when a pandemic hits? And then she came in, and by October, I was like, I'm going wherever she goes.
Right.
And so she's just amazing and very, very supportive. And so, like, I told her at one point, I was worried about having, like, I had been put on a theater class. I was like, treat theater like my sport. And she was like, okay, if you want theater to be taught, treated like your sport, then get certified. And so I did, got my certification. And then I really pushed. I was like, I really don't want to teach world geography anymore. And so they're like, okay, you don't have to teach world geography anymore, but what about picking up APUSH? Mm-hmm. Because our APUSH teacher had been moved up to be an AP. And I was like, I'll do that. Right. And so I've very carefully, and I mean, I was Bastrop ISD Secondary Teacher of the Year.
Yeah.
I must be good at my job.
Yeah.
And so I feel like they've recognized that. And I really appreciate that recognition.
There it is. We go. Yeah, that's all right. So, you know, when I was teaching, I was a finalist for Teacher of the Year 1 year. And I remember, I'm in the same boat. My mother is deceased now, but I remember my mom telling me when I was thinking about teaching back in college that she was like, you know, that's great and all, but just don't ever do Teacher of the Year. Don't ever, like, don't strive for that. And the reason is because I don't come from a family of writers, and that writing is, like, a big part of, you know, tell us why. Or, you know, they always have a prompt, right? You become mm-hmm. a finalist with a prompt. And then if you are lucky enough to win your campus level, then you go on to the district and you have to write more. And she remembered that because she was a teacher as well. She was a middle school teacher. And she won Teacher of the Year at her school and then was like, this sucks. You know, like, because it was just so, and she was a math teacher. So, like, writing was not anywhere near her, like, forte. And so I just remember her telling me, like, hey, if you ever get this opportunity, pass it up. don't be upset if it passes you by too. Like, so I've never been offended by, and I'll tell people all the time, I have friends that are like, I've never been nominated. It's like, don't be careful what you wish for, you know? That's not to say it's a bad recognition. It's just, if you're not a writer, it's not easy.
It was admittedly a little, it was like 5 essays mm-hmm. and then like a personal biography. And so it was like 3,000 words about like myself and all of these different things. And I was like, I'll figure it out. It was nice though, because one of the things that they recognized when I won for, and I was not expecting to get like nominated.
Yeah.
When they started reading off nominations during the faculty meeting to like vote as campus, I was so zoned out that I was like, did someone need my, like,
yeah.
I thought someone was getting my attention for a second. And so, but just because I didn't think I was going to get nominated, right. I was like, oh, I'll vote for whoever I think is the best. But when I was recognized by the district, they came in and they were like, we really like how you talked about your rogue tech program. And so I have this little rogue tech program where, you know, not every kid wants to be involved in theater.
Right.
Some kids, you know, have a stigma around theater. They, you know, they don't necessarily want to be in an extracurricular, because if you want to be in an extracurricular, then all these extra rules might apply to you.
Right.
But sometimes a kid just needs to paint. Sometimes a kid just needs to build. Sometimes a kid just needs to staple fabric to a board and, you know, talk to some other kid about their feelings. And
yep.
that is what our little rogue tech program is all about. And so it was really nice to see that at District, they were recognizing me, but in recognizing me, they were recognizing our theater program. They were recognizing those kids that, you know, needed a little bit of extra space, right, needed a little extra time.
Have you been able to have time to do like outside, like anything outside of, like, give me something that fills your cup outside of education, or is education what, like, is that it? Or
I
didn't think so.
I spend a lot of time with my wife and my dog, and luckily my wife is works at the same campus as me a college counselor, and so it's nice to get to see her throughout the day. I play and collect guitar and ukulele. I do some woodworking on the side. Like I was telling someone the other day, I was like, I really hope the freeze doesn't come so I can start my garden. I have a lot of little things going on. Right now I've been on a big reading kick. Okay. I just finished this really cute book called Thursday Murder Club. It's set in a retirement village, and these old people solve murders. It's adorable.
Are you a crime junkie?
I am, but since my wife isn't, I've stopped consuming as much crime.
I only say that because you know, and I'll disclose something before we started talking. You said you don't listen to a lot of podcasts. I don't think that's hurting anybody's feelings, but there's a great podcast called Crime Junkies that is, it'll make you paranoid, but it is a great podcast if you're into that kind of stuff. And your wife, you can have headphones in and your wife doesn't have to hear what's going on or whatever. But it's if you're into that kind of like real type of, you know, and it sounds like the book you were reading is not necessarily, it sounds a little fictiony, but maybe it's not, I don't know. But yeah, good for you. So you mentioned ukulele and guitar. Have you ever made one? Have you ever like whittled one out?
No, I haven't. That sounds like a really cool idea. So it might be something I have to do now.
Well, I think I have a friend that years and years ago tried to replicate a Fender, and it's because it's easier. It's not hollow, right? Whereas an acoustic guitar is hollow, and so it takes a little more gentle hands, I guess, if you will, so to put that together. But he did a pretty, I mean, he was able to put everything in it to make it electric and all that kind of stuff, but it was a project. But anyway, I just thought, sounds like those two worlds could collide someday.
Yeah, maybe. I probably should have mentioned this earlier when you asked me if there are other, like, when I was talking about things I wasn't very good at. One other thing I'm not real good at is electricity. Like, I know a lot about it, but I'm like, I know enough to not want to mess with it.
Yeah, it's the two things I always tell people. Hey, if you're kind of new to the tech theater world, don't mess with electrical work and don't mess with rigging. You know, I mean, get to know it. I'm not saying don't learn it, but if you really just don't know much about it, don't try to guess. And it's the same with like home repairs. I'm assuming you do a little bit around the house, and I don't mess with plumbing because it's like, if that goes wrong, you are literally up Schitt's Creek. Like, I mean, like, like you could be. So plumbing is one of those things that I'm like, nope, not going to touch that one. Yeah.
It's like, I'm gonna pay someone who is trained very well in this to do it.
And I might overpay, but at least, you know, the investment hopefully is worth it. But yeah, good. So what is a show that, you know, because it sounds like your background isn't as theatrical, right? So what is a show that you experienced when you were younger that really kind of slapped you in the face and said, oh, this is kind of cool. This is something that would be neat to do.
I played the baby kangaroo in Navarro High School's version, a rendition of Seussical, the musical. And I was in like first or second grade. And because I wasn't one of the little kid like Who's, I got to like hang out with the big kids. Yeah. And I very distinctly remember seeing this piano that they had made. And now as an adult, I know that it was made out of plywood with a jigsaw.
Yeah.
But I remember seeing that thing and going, man, that is so cool.
Yeah.
Like the keys were fake and it was in this like weird shape with all these weird colors on it. And their set was just so, so cool. And so I think that was the first time, like after my little curtain puller gig,
yeah,
that I was like, this is great.
So can you sing?
So
can you sing?
Yes.
Because the sour kangaroo and the baby, that's like the thing that they do is they they belt and they sing. Okay.
I don't sing. It's definitely not the singing I do now. It definitely wouldn't be like probably theater stage singing. Right. It's definitely more like microphone, folksier singing. But yeah, no, I sing a little bit as well.
Well, you said first grade, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, your voice is different. my voice is everybody's voice is different than first grade. But if it's still the same, then go see a doctor. But yeah, that's that's funny.
So, I mean, more like style. Like I know, like they get into like I always hear my kids talking about like head voice and chest voice and all these things. So I'm just like, it's voice.
Yeah. So, yeah. Just voice. Have you ever sung for your students? Do they know you can sing?
Yeah, I'll bring my ukulele up to school when we get through EOC and we get through AP testing and it's just final project time. I'll bring my ukulele to school and play a little bit for some of my classes.
Are you the teacher with like bean bags and stuff? No. Okay. You have desks and all that. Okay. I didn't know.
No, I actually in my classroom, I have 2 7x4 platforms and a 4x4 platform that my desk and my podium sit on in the corner. And so I even have like a little like stage, like so y'all
like,
are
you're like raised up
y'all space, my space
you're like elevated kind of like
it's only about 4 it's just a standard
okay
it doesn't have any feet on it just
okay it's just the height of a 2x4 or whatever I was gonna say just I can just see you like you know looking over the classroom as, like Mufasa or something
and it's just high enough to where I can see everybody in the room both the top of their desks and if they're texting
right yeah that's good that's smart well that's what is a what was your kind of introduction to one act play you mentioned that you followed somebody into theater your senior year but was that your introduction to kind of that world or what was your introduction to
So whenever the one act, because whenever our high school would do one act, because I went to a real, like my high school was kind of weird set up. Like we were in a converted dormitory on Texas A&M Kingsville's campus. And so the auditorium and stuff was at the middle school. And even that, when I say cafetorium, I mean like the gym is on the one side of the curtain.
Right.
And on the other side of the curtain, that's the cafeteria. There is no backstage. Backstage is the gym. And so they didn't do a whole lot of like big stuff at all when I was in school other than one act. And so I would go and watch all of their one act shows every year. And then my senior year, when I was supposed to be in the show and I had made some interesting choices that required me to not participate in one act, I did end up going to all of their contests and they had made it through to regional and so I saw a lot of one act play my senior year of high school still didn't manage to figure out the rules until I started competing in it like 7-minute setup and you know I knew that the plays were 40 minutes I didn't realize like the 39-50 like blackout rule there's quite a lot of theater language that I had to learn and I'm still learning
same are you a competitive person at all
I am I hate losing
yeah
I like winning but I hate losing
that's weird how that works I'm not a competitive person but I would always tell my students that when you win you want to keep winning and so it's like you get like teased into this especially in one act play you get teased into this false sense of like we've got a great show but It may be, but it's up to that group of people or that person, depending on if you have a panel or not. But what is something about one act play that you really enjoy? I don't want to get into negatives, but what is something about one act play that you kind of find that you look forward to, if you will?
The whole Texas one act play is just so cool.
Yeah.
Like the oldest, longest running tournament style theatrical competition in the world. Like that's dope. And I love the tournament style theater. Like I love, you know, so I'll tell people on my like my U.S. history team, they're like baseball coaches and football coaches, and they're wonderful, wonderful U.S. history teachers. But when I tell them, like, yeah, we get 2 hours in a space the day before, and then we got 7 minutes to set up and 40 minutes to form and 7 minutes to get out of there, they just look at me like, that's theater? Like, that's insane. And so I love that, you know, go and the fire behind it. You got to have some fire in it to like have a good show, and you have got to have some fire in it to like get everything set up. And the show we're doing right now is like, I built an entire kitchen out of foam the other day, and we're putting canvas on all, we're using like every piece of unit set, all the flats, all the doors, the window, everything. Like it, and it's gonna be insane to set up in 7 minutes, and I cannot wait. It's gonna be so much fun.
What's your introduction to foam too? I mean, I'm assuming, again, not to keep harping on it, but the sticks and glue kind of side of you is fine with foam, but you know, there is a bit of a learning curve with foam. It's just, it's not like metal. Obviously, foam is not going to be, well, I guess if you're Aaron Martin, you can make it. That you can make it so that you can stand on it, but very few people do that, right? So it's not like you're putting weight bearing elements on foam. But what was your first thing that you did, and how screwed up was it?
So I got into foam because of Mel Edwards, who's just
never heard of her.
So cool.
Never heard of her. Yeah. Anyway, keep going. Yeah.
So cool. And so I mentioned her before, but I went to her foam workshop at Thespians, and I'd watched her make things out of foam. I'd gotten to see Rouse do Anastasia, which just was insane, wonderful show. And she was so gracious to let my theater company like tour her backstage and break down some of the things that she had done for Anastasia. And I was really tired of carrying heavy things. And so when I'd seen some of her foam work, and I went to her foam workshop, my head director and I went to the foam workshop together, and we were sitting in there and we were like, we're about to buy $150 worth of 2-inch insulation foam, aren't we? Like, yeah. No, it's and so that course was great. The first thing I made was our bookshelves that we're using. And I'm really glad that the people we're representing are supposed to be like impoverished. And this house is a farmhouse that has been kind of pieced together, because they're a little off balance. They look like, it looks like a shelf has might have collapsed after years and years of weight, which is great for the show, not great for my ability to square things up. but they look really cool.
Yeah.
Now that I've covered them in Elmer's glue and cheesecloth and painted them half to death, I gave those things a landlord special for sure.
Right. And that's nice. I like that one. Landlord special. That's a good, I've never heard that before. Maybe I should have, but I've never heard that. That's good. I like that. That should be, you need to talk to Mel about making that a sticker or a shirt.
Oh, that'd be really funny.
It would be a good like, one.
That doesn't look good. Landlord special. We have this white paint from Les Mis that I refer to it as cigarette white, because it looks like white paint that has been like ashed in.
Right.
And so that is the undertone of this entire set.
Nice. That's good. Yeah. There's lots of, you know, different nuancey things that us weirdos call these, you know, things in our theaters. Right. So it's just funny, but excuse me. Do you ever make time for yourself to do like community theater or theater outside of educational world of things?
I attend as much theater as I can. Okay. Since I do a lot within school, I try not to give myself things outside of school that require me to be there at certain times and certain dates for like extended periods of time. And so I've always thought about teching for our local opera house, but then I'm like, if I tech for it, I can't watch the show.
Right.
And so I go to a lot of our Bastrop Opera House shows, and they do great stuff. They're a very tight-knit community theater. I get to see not only my students, but you know, former students. The Laytons do a whole lot through there. And so like every so often I might be like, hey, if y'all need any help with this, like I'll come in for an afternoon, but like, hey, you need to borrow this. Like, just let me know, you need a platform. But other than that, I try to keep myself free to like go to, you know, shows and like go and support my kids and like their endeavors outside of our theater program. But I don't really want to put that responsibility on myself.
A couple more questions. Do you think your program, your theater program, has benefited as far as number of students from the fact that you are also a history teacher? You're not just theater. They see you outside of theater world and they think, oh, well, they're cool. I want to go, you know, to experience theater now. So is that, do you think that there's been a bit of a return from that, or is that not really affected much?
I actually think it kind of goes both ways with our company, because we'll have kids who I've been their director since they were freshmen. And now they're like, I'm going to take your advanced placement U.S. history course, because you're the only person that teaches it. And I want to be in your classroom.
Got it.
And then having to be like, you know, I'm your tech director, right? Like, do you really want to be in my class? Do you really want to open yourself up to that scrutiny? But then on the flip side of that, yeah, we do have some kids, because I'll say like, hey, you want to paint, you want to do something, you want some extra credit, like, you just need somewhere to be, come do theater. And so I pick up about a handful of kids every year.
Okay.
And not all of them stay the whole year. Ophelia.
Is that your dog drinking?
Yes.
Yeah. No, that's funny. My dogs are barking earlier, but I'm muted. I have that I have that power.
There we go. She's just so large and in charge.
What kind of dog?
She's a Catahoula Great Pyrenees mix.
Wow.
She's a big old double merle of a monster. Yeah. And she actually gets to come to school with me. And so when we auditioned for the ferryman, she had gotten a bath at school with the ag class. And so she sat and also auditioned all the tickets for the ferryman.
That's really great. That's great. That's funny. Yeah. We're dog people too. We're two big dogs too. Cause I don't want to step on a dog. So one of the last questions I'm going to ask you, cause we're kind of hitting that sweet spot that I keep things at, but nobody knows that secret. Your history background I have a question in my head, but I'm going to try to be eloquent with it. Is it helpful or a handicap when it comes to you creating stage pictures, scenery, when you're talking to the costumer? Because you mentioned that you're an English teacher is doing costumes or whatever. Do you think that it's like, I know the history and the dramaturg side of what I want, but at the same time, when you build it, does it drive you nuts that maybe it's not exactly what you know it should be? Does that make sense?
Yes, it does make a lot of sense. So yes and no. So yes, because like we're doing a show right now and it's set in 1981, Troubles, Northern Ireland. And so like I have a very strict, if it looks too new, if it looks like people who are impoverished in 1981's Ireland, it cannot be on set. It's going to look dumb. And so that's kind of where my line is. It's like, I'll wiggle a little bit, right? Like we don't always have to be completely historically accurate, but there is a line where it's like, if you put that on stage, it's going to look silly. Like it's going to detract from the things that are historically accurate. And for this show that we are doing, we actually did pick up a dramaturge. And so we do have a freshman where like his job is to answer the questions that I don't get to, or like, I'm an American historian. I know a lot about a lot of things, but he's like a big military historian. And so he's talking about like IRA uniforms and that gun wouldn't make any sense. And I'm just like, thank you, cause I didn't notice. And so if it's something that I'm like really knowledgeable about, I'm like, that can't happen. When we were doing Chicago, I was like, that's not going to make any sense. When we were doing Les Mis, I was like, if it looks like it was thrown out a window, it works.
Right. Yeah. The barricade is made up of literally just pieces in your storage unit that you don't ever need again.
Oh, unless of course you worry about building the barricade again.
Right, right.
In which case, yeah. I don't know. I have this pile of barricade materials that I can't get rid of until I hear back about Heller Award nominations later on.
Oh, right.
Like you never know what they're gonna, you never know what you're gonna get nominated for. Never know what they're gonna ask you to bring. And so I have a pile of stuff on my stage right now. It's like, that's a barricade. It certainly will be.
That's funny. Yeah, I didn't even think about that, that you have to kind of almost construct things to be reconstructed because of the Hellers. Yeah, we have the Tommy Tunes here, but they don't have, you know, maybe a small piece or a chair or something. You know, if you're doing Good Man Charlie Brown, maybe you have a small piece, but I don't know if that's ever been nominated, to be honest. But we don't go as big as they do with the Hellers. But knowing one of the people as well as I know with the Hellers, I understand why it is the way it is, because we're family friends with one of the creators of the Hellers. So my dad grew up with him. So, but anyway, he's been on this podcast too. You can scroll through and, you know, whatever. Anyway, but enough flexing. So I'm going to get you out of here on this. You have a unique background in that you, as you said, you came from on both sides of the family, education or educators, right? And then you went into education. Sounds like not necessarily reluctantly, but sort of you tried to maybe be reluctant with it.
To not to.
Yeah, right. Okay. And now you're here and you've won Secondary Teacher of the Year for your district, and you're skyrocketing, right? And I don't mean to insult you in this way, but in a rather short amount of time, being as young as you are, getting as much as you have gotten thus far, what is it that keeps you humble, grounded, and not thinking that you are the next best thing? Excuse me, the next best thing to like education. What is something that is keeping you down to earth? Because you come across as down to earth. You don't come across as egotistical at all. So what is keeping you there?
I have to give a lot of praise to my wife, Sophia. She is a wonderful sounding board. She, you know, kind of keeps me in perspective with things. But also at the end of the day, I'm only as good as my kids, right? Like I got where I am in teaching because, you know, a kid asked me a specific question, which made me look something up, which made me better, which made me add something to my lecture. Or a kid needed to know something and I was like, well, let's learn it together. And so it really comes down to our kids, you know. And Bastrop High School is, you know, we are a Title I school, and, you know, like one of my mentor teachers in the past said, you know, they don't keep the good ones at home. We're Walmart. We serve everybody. And that mentality has really held deep to me. You know, like I'm in it for the kids. And that's something my mom always said as well. She was a big believer. We are public educators. That is what she always said. We are in it for the people. Right? We are in it for making things better, for educating people, for being there for people, for being there for kids. So at the end of the day, they're just kids and they just need adults that can help them and guide them. And if I can teach a kid how to properly nail something in without cracking a board, then bet. If I can teach a kid that you can paint something instead of, you know, doing something negative with ourselves, if we can just, you know, if you can just get up and get to first period and get through your classes and go and attend and learn, then at the end of the day, you can come to rehearsal and you can be with the people you love and you can be with this wonderful community that we've been able to create. And that's really what keeps me on earth is the kids. I'm in it for the kids.
Minor Wisdom.